And for those who are able, won't you rise to your feet? I'm going to read all 11 verses, though most of the theme will be made clear in verses 1 and 2, but it is repeated in different ways throughout the text. I'm reading to you from the New King James Version of the Bible. Hear now the word of God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved, and shall help her just at the break of day. The nation raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the work of the Lord, who has made desolation in the earth and who makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted above the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. And the God of Jacob is our refuge. May God add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and even more to the doing of his holy word. Amen. The 46th Psalm is a liturgical victory psalm. It is sang in the temple when Israel comes together to give praise unto God for delivering Israel out of the hand of its enemies. Many scholars believe that this, the incident or what gave rise to the writing of the psalm was when Assyria, the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, had marched across Palestine, conquering all nations. But the king of Judah, Hezekiah, refused to bow down. And so he marches and he conquers all of Judah and he comes to Jerusalem. And he takes siege on the city. And he tries to convince King Hezekiah that he should give in. Like all the other gods in the other country. But instead of going out to fight, King Hezekiah went up to the temple. And he got on his knees before God and said, God, you see all that's going on. Those other gods were wood and stone. But you are the true and the living God. So I've come to send up some knee mail. And God says, let me send you back an email through Isaiah. And Isaiah came to King Hezekiah and said, God heard you. It's going to be all right by tomorrow morning. It's going to be all right. And so King Hezekiah leaves the temple with the assurance that God had answered his prayer. Oh, I don't know about you, but when I know God has answered, I start to get excited. As he left, you see, God was specific. He didn't say, I would get around to it. He told Isaiah before daybreak. And I laugh at what happens. Because God sent one angel, just one. And he killed 185,000 warriors before daybreak. One angel? 185,000 warriors. Men of war. But they were no match for just one angel. I laugh when I read the text because Jesus says, if I wanted to stop you from what you're doing, don't you think I could call heaven and get 10,000 angels? If one took out 185,000, I hate to think about what 10,000 would do. But this song is a testimony. There are those who believe that it was actually written by King Hezekiah as a testament to what God did for Israel. You know, what I have found is when God does miraculous things in my life, he usually comes with a time and a date stamped on my soul that I should never forget it. When God has put his hands on you and he's taken you out of tragedies, taken you out of places of destruction, he takes you out of those things that would destroy you. You remember that. So I suspect that King Hezekiah remembered well what it was to have the army of Assyria in siege around the city and God bringing the victory. Oh, I suspect I'm in the camp who believes that King Hezekiah wrote this song. As I go forward with this sermon, I just want to lift up for your sermon thought, affirming the sovereign source of our strength. Psalm 46 is a testimony about the God of Israel and what God did when it looked like all was lost. Had you, they went around the city. They came ready for war. They came with a bad attitude. The captain of the Assyrian army started talking about God of Israel like he was a common God of like the other countries, and told Hezekiah, give up now.
I don't want to waste my men killing you. Just come on out.
But he found out quickly that Israel's God was the true and living God. And he would not bow down to some earthly king who thought he had power. Only to find, the scripture does not say the name of the angel that went to kill these 185,000 folk. But in my mind's eye, his name ought to be Jerome. You know.
I can see Jerome coming by the throne room late that night. And God said, Jerome. He says, yes, my Lord. He said, what are you doing between midnight and 6 a.m.? He said, no, I don't have anything on my calendar, Lord. And God said, well, I got an errand for you to do. And God told him what it was. He said, Lord, I'll be back before breakfast. He said, I'll be back. And so when Hezekiah woke up that morning, he looked out and he saw nothing but dead bodies. And then I can see him. He took his pen in his hand because that moment overwhelmed him so. And he said, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Psalmist began to testify about what God had done. The psalmist speaks when he takes the pen. He's reliving that experience. He's trying to tell it to the nation. He put it in the archives of the Psalms so it would be read over and over and over again. And that the nation would know who their God is. You see, there are times when God allows the drama to come. He allows the heartaches to come. He allows the tears to be shed. So that when he acts, you and I will remember. We will have a testimony about what our God can do. The Assyrian army had Jerusalem surrounded. They were threatening to lay siege to the city. They were saying that the God Yahweh of Israel was a powerless God. They had marched all over Palestine and through Judah, only to come to Israel. And they found a king. They still believe God had all power in his hands. In spite of the bad outlook, the uplook was fine. And he talked to God about it, and God sent help. See, you and I need to understand that sometimes when all seems lost, the outlook may not look right. The outlook may be overwhelming. The outlook may make you want to give up. But when you get there, look up and start to talk to God about it. Because God knows how to send the help you need. And he says, our Lord God is our refuge and our strength. And the ever-present help in times of trouble. Oh, Samuel said, when I fell to my knees, I found out that God would be my battle axe. Yeah. David said, I'd almost given up, but I got time to pray. And I knew that if I held out a while longer, God would send me strength. Isaiah said, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They should run and not get weary. They should walk and not faint. Paul says, God knows the address of your heart. He says, whatever you're going through, if you're a child of God, keep talking to God, and God will see you through. When all seems lost, God is still our Heavenly Father. And He will speak into our lives and strengthen us for each trial. Verses 4 through 6, they really point to how God can particularize His power in accordance with our needs. Don't miss that. They make clear that God knows how to dispense His power in accordance with our needs. You know, we try to say that when we sing, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. But Hezekiah, he wrote it down. And don't miss this. He says God has power over His power. You know, in the scripture, there's two kinds of powers. One is dunamis, like dynamite. It's what you and I get when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. The other one is exousia, and it means that this is a power reserved for God and God only, because whatever God needs to do, He wills it so, and it happens. Yes. God's power becomes created in our times of need. What you need when you're going through may be different from what I need when I'm going through. But God never misses the mark. Oh, you ought to go and read Romans 8, 26 and 27. It says you and I think we understand what's going on in our lives. And we do from our perspective. He said, but God has a divine perspective. And He knows just what to recommend in light of what we need. And so He says God has power over His power. He says God has the might to do what's right in His sovereignty every time He acts. It does not require us to agree with what God does. It requires us to trust in what God does. I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to miss this. There are several things going on in verses 4 to 6. One is that there's water, a river, as the psalmist talks about, coming out of Jerusalem. Well, the problem with that is Jerusalem's on dry land. There are no rivers around it. And so God, in His own sovereignty, decides to create a river that comes through Jerusalem. Why? Because Sennacherib thought if we take them away from the water, we'll bring them out sooner. God says, oh, no, you don't have that kind of power. I'll just send a river right through the city. The other is that they are under siege, and they're waiting on God to act, and And God says, I got it. Just hold out. It'll happen before daybreak. And the other reminded them of who God is in himself. God does not miss the mark. He doesn't miss the mark. He does what's needful for you and for me. Whenever we are going through, whenever you and I are going through chaos and through the problems, you know, the psalmist says that God's power has no end. Isaiah said that there's no enemy to match the sovereignty of our God. The psalmist declares at the darkest moment, God's light will shine through. Oh, you've read Acts 16, when Paul and Silas are in jail. He says their faith grew strongest as they dealt deeper into the midnight of their souls. God brought them through. Don't miss that. There's no God like our God. Oh, as you and I look up on the things that God does, God can and God will particularize his power in the light of our needs. Sometimes you'll say, well, why did so-and-so get so-and-so? And God did this when I needed that. Well, in order for you and I to understand what God does, we have to be God. And we're not.
Amen.
See, you and I see life in snapshots. God sees it in its entirety. So as Hezekiah writes, he says, I want you to know, our God has the power to particularize his power in every way that we have need. And then he goes on to remind us, don't miss this, the trials of life and faith can never circumvent the sovereignty of God. Let me say that again. The trials of life and faith can never circumvent the sovereignty of God. When we come to verse 8, God has changed in the sense that he's now a warring God. And he's taking aim on his enemies. He says, verses it says that God takes us to the battle. Hezekiah takes us to the battle with King Sennacherib and God's angel. And he looks out and he wakes up that morning and said, God destroyed all of that. In verse 9, he talks about recognizing that none of God's enemy can stand up to God. He just breaks their spears. And he breaks their bows and he cuts their spears. And he burns their chariots. Because God has gone into a protective mode. You see, when God goes into a protective mode to take care of his own, he will do whatever's necessary to take care of his own. So when we get to what we all claim or talk about in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. That is God saying, shut up, I got enough, hear me.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Yeah.
You see, when folks are acting up sometimes, God will say, shut up. I've got enough. Hear me and know that I am God and I am speaking to you. What Hezekiah said. He says, sometimes we think that God is just aimless. And sometimes he's just babbling. It's not what God does. God knows how to particularize his power to take care of our needs. But he also knows how to speak to the forces that would destroy us. And he needs to say to them sometimes, you just need to understand that you're messing with my folk. You just need to understand that I'm a loving God, but I am also a God who will take care of my own. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And for those of us who are being taken care of, we need to know we're in God's sovereign care. Too often, we are, not anybody here, complaining about what God hasn't done how God looked by what our needs are. But no one here today. I could have probably left this part of the sermon out. But I love it when Hezekiah puts on the lips of the Lord, enough. Enough with the nonsense. And then God steps up and says, I'm God, I'm in control, and you need to listen. You that or you pay the consequences. Too often, we think that we just go through the world doing what we want to do. And there are no consequences. My Bible says that God is forever in control every day. I'm not going to get political, but he knows who's in office. And he knows why he's there. Now, I haven't quite figured it out, but he didn't seek my counsel. But he knows who's there. And he's there for a reason and a season to accomplish what God wants to do. Now, I said I wasn't going to get political, but I am going to say this. Some of us didn't vote. So there may be a message there for us, too. They, y'all forget, they keep statistics on everything, so they know how many black folks voted. Yeah, so, but I'm going to leave that alone. The point is that in God's taking care of God's own people, God does say to evil, there are limits to which you cannot go and I will not allow you to go. Now, we ought to be thankful for that, but we also ought to be faithful to God and live as he wants, as he appoints. There are two phrases that are repeated, one in verse 7 and the other in verse 11. It talks about the God of Jacob. And who he is and what that means. It talks about this God of Jacob being on our side and God, and the God of hosts being with us. The phrase God of hosts means that God is God's own army and God's own arsenal. It means that God will do what is needful. That's why we can trust and affirm in the sovereign strength of God. Because God determines what God needs to do and how God will do what God needs to do. And King Hezekiah says, it's not by happenstance. It's out of a relationship. King Hezekiah says that this God of hosts,
He knows how to marshal his armies, and he knows how to direct them. He talks in terms of the fullness of God, God's omnipotence, God's omniscience, and God's omnipresence. He says he will dispense his power to achieve his end.
Yes.
Hezekiah captured it as best as he could. God is our refuge and our strength.
Yes.
Regardless of what life brings our way, God is the strong tower of his people. God is the rock of salvation for all who believe in him. God is our hope, our help, and our strength. King Hezekiah tried to capture it as best he could. He's our hope, our help, our strength in every season of our lives. No, I agree with the psalmist when he says God neither slumbers nor sleeps. God watches over his own. And sometimes a lot closer than we want him to, but he's there. And he's there for our good. You and I need to understand that circumstances may change, but God's covenant with God's people never changes. He will be there for us in whatever way we have need. But he does it because he is the Lord of hosts. And that's really a military term. It says God is ready to do battle with anything and anybody that messes with God's people. I don't know about you, but I like that. I want to be on the right side of the battle. I hope that I'm doing what I ought to do, but you don't have to worry about what's going on in the world around you. If your hand is in the hand of the Lord, you see, you and I get, what do we do besides get anxious? Some of us get mad and lose control. I know y'all pass cussing, so y'all don't do that no more, but there are times. But when Hezekiah said he is the Lord of hosts, which means he stands vigilant for that which he would do for his people. He is the ultimate power in heaven and in earth. You know, we have a refuge that continues to claim God's people. It's the refuge of the redeemed. And his name is Jesus. He told his disciples, Matthew 28 and 18, I have all power. I have exousia to do whatever I need to do to take care of my own. He tells them, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, as long as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, I will be there. As long as water's wet and fire's hot, I will see you through life's uneven journey. Whatever you have need of, I will provide. He goes on to say that his strength is without end. He will do what's necessary. Paul tried to capture it when he says in Romans 8, beyond 29 and beyond, 31 and beyond, when he talks about this relationship that cannot be broken. What shall take us away from God? Life? No. Death? No. Things present? No. Things to come? No.
whatever it might be. And then Paul says it best. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. As you and I hear these words today, I want you to know that the sovereign source of our strength is our relationship with Jesus Christ. He will keep you. He will sustain you. But yes, a relationship is one that's lived out. It's not occasional. You set your minds and hearts and spirits unto God. And we strive to live in ways that will bring glory to his name. Hezekiah went up to the temple because he had a relationship with the Lord. If you read 2 Kings 18th chapter and 19th chapter, it will tell you that Hezekiah had a daily relationship with the Lord. He prayed and he worshiped God each day. And then he could count on God meeting him where he was. I want to say that to you. If you want to know the sovereign source of your strength, you need to talk to him on a regular basis. Amen. Not just when the drama comes. Yes. Not just when the heartaches comes. Yes. But it's about living into the faith. Amen. Trusting him for life and death each day. Amen. Knowing that he will see you through. Yes, he will. Amen. Amen. Amen.